Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Even though it kind of feels like a Tuesday, it's the 9th of September, 2020. We continue to bring Southern Arizonans together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tom Fairbanks, it was a welcome 10 degrees, almost felt like 10 degrees cooler. Today was actually, this morning felt like it hasn't felt since maybe April.
It's been nice. Actually, yesterday wasn't bad either, when it was kind of breezy. But you know what the National Weather Service says that we're going to have tomorrow morning for our early morning low?
What's that?
Around 61.
Ooh, that would be very nice. Now, the other component of all of this, I've taken my eye drops, took them right before the show, because as I've talked about on this program, I am very allergic to wood smoke. And we have been having the breezes blowing in yesterday. The air quality was really just horrible here in Tucson. It's better today, a little bit better, but compared to what's going on up in the Bay Area, Tom, I posted on Facebook a picture from KGO Channel 7 in San Francisco of the Golden Gate Bridge, the traffic this morning, pitch black at 9 a.m. in the morning. Another Facebook friend posted from San Francisco International at 10 a.m. a total blue sky. A blue sky, we wish. Total orange sky, reminiscent. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Blade Runner, but that's what it looks like up in the Bay Area today.
Yeah, we were just looking at some satellite photos from the GOES 17 satellite that NOAA has up there, and it shows that cloud cover that you're talking about, and you can actually see that orangey kind of shade in some of the clouds that are right there just off the coast of the Bay Area there.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we did our trip to Mount Rainier last week, because now Oregon and Washington, especially eastern Washington, just totally consumed by wildfires. And an area, we were up in Medford, Oregon in June on our way over to Brookings, Oregon. Medford is a city of 80,000 people, Tom, and they were talking about a total evacuation of Medford yesterday.
There's been a lot of evacuations in western Oregon, not only in the Medford area, but up in the Willamette Valley, up towards, not including Portland, but up that direction. These fires apparently are on the east side of I-5, but have been pushing to the west because of the prevailing wind.
Yeah,
and so there have been a number of evacuations. A number of residences and businesses in Oregon have burned. So, yeah, they're very unhappy today.
What a year. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, Republican District 4. Supervisor Christie, how are you today?
Well, despite what everybody's going through and what we're dealing with, I'm doing just fine, Bill. It's great to be here.
Boy, what a year. This has just been, it's been a mess. Let's begin.
The one thing we're waiting for and haven't shown up yet, but I'm sure are due any day, are locusts.
Well, there was a tremendous invasion of locusts in East Africa earlier in the year, there's even talk of an asteroid that was supposed to hit the Earth. Very low.
Just round out the year, what great.
Right, that was supposed to come on Election Day, and I think they've now down. The odds of it now of hitting Earth are like way less than 1%. But anyway, the situation with old Tucson, it's been struggling. And of course, what's happened with the pandemic hasn't helped old Tucson, which really came onto the movie scene in 1939, the movie Stagecoach. And 400 feature films and TV shows have been filmed at the location. I don't think anyone, Steve, was surprised that they were struggling, but maybe to the point where they were actually going to have to close down may have surprised some people.
Well, I think the one thing that kind of struck me as interesting, if you could call it that in this situation, but that nightfall event that Old Tucson put on every year attracted, 30,000-40,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their, as I'm finding these things out, that was their sole and main source of income to survive throughout the year. So all of the other availabilities of visiting Old Tucson for tourism and, you know, the Old West and things of that nature really did nothing to bolster the income or the cash flow of the enterprise, but they relied so heavily on a very large group gathering over a period of several days in that nightfall that it just could not sustain itself with all of the mandates of the COVID prevention. So that to me was indicative of the fact that they relied on one source of revenue stream, and when that revenue stream was jeopardized and the integrity of it was doubted and put to test, that's how fragile the whole economic situation out there was.
Well, this property actually has been in Pima County hands since 1939. So I actually see this as an opportunity. And I know my colleague on the morning show is talking about this. Chris, this is a chance to rethink everything to do with Old Tucson and return, I believe, to the roots of Old Tucson, which is filmmaking. Would you agree with that, Steve Christie?
Absolutely. I know that this is a very difficult time to start up any enterprise or change direction of an existing one that just failed. But certainly this does offer opportunities, albeit challenging, because the business world in general and startups in particular for something that would be required to be classified as a startup if it were turned over to the Old Tucson property, this is a very difficult time to do such endeavors. And I just hope that when we reflect quite seriously on the future and the repurposing, if there is such a thing that can be done with Old Tucson, that we look at it for the long haul and that it take into consideration, of course, the history. I got to tell you a little side story, if I might. When I was a kid in grade school, my mother did a lot of community amateur acting in the Tucson community. There was a group called the Little Theater and the Corral Theater, and then she was in the Junior League Follies, and this is in the late 50s and early 60s. And they were filming a movie out at Old Tucson, a Western, and if memory serves me, the stars were Brian Keith, Maureen O'Hara, and an actor that was pretty popular back then by the name of Steve Cochran.
Huh.
And the movie was called Deadly Companions, and the director was looking for extras to do various scenes of this movie, and he called up a guy at the university who taught drama and also directed the community theater events. His name was Peter Maroney.
Oh, I remember Peter. I remember him very well. Yeah.
He was a terrific guy, and he worked well with my mother and many other community amateur actors and actresses. And Peter gave the director the name of my mother and several of her friends, and the director's name was Sam Peckinpah.
Oh, yeah.
So this was, I think, one of his first major movies, or supposed to be a major movie. It didn't end up a major box office movie, but it did pay my mother a going wage for an extra. I think it was back then, it was a substantial amount of money, several hundred dollars a day. And after the movie was filmed and mother was done with her job with them, she went out and bought a new set of living room drapes. And every time someone would come in and comment on, you've got some new drapes. And she'd say, yep, those are my Deadly Companion drapes. So that kind of has a real example, and it's indicative of how embedded Old Tucson has been in the fabric of our Tucson community and how wonderful it was over the years to take visitors from back east and show them the tour of Old Tucson and the movie sets and the thrill of the beautiful Tucson Mountain area and the views, as well as the fact that it has such entertainment history. And some years ago, I'm sure you knew Bob Shelton.
Oh, yes.
I was at a party or something, and I mentioned to him about my mother being in that movie, Deadly Companions. And he, at that time, was running Old Tucson. And about 3 days later, I got a package of a VCR of the movie Deadly Companions. I thought that was very, very thoughtful of him. But there's a real deep connection of Old Tucson and our community. And let's hope that what we do with it now is done thoughtfully, respectfully, and successfully, even though that's not the most opportune time to do startups or for people to invest money in things because of the havoc that's being wreaked upon the business community. But maybe if we do it right, do it correctly and head in the right direction, we'll come up with something that will be just as valuable, if not more, for the history of Old Tucson.
You mentioned Peter Maroney. I had my minor at the University of Arizona in the 60s was drama, so I took some courses under Mr. Maroney, who was the head of the University of Arizona drama department in the 60s. I remember Old Tucson really was one of the big selling points when I came out from Chicago to look at campuses. And of course, I fell in love with the U of A campus. But the big attraction, I remember the first place people took me was Old Tucson. And and in those days, there was virtually nothing pretty much after you crossed over the mountains. And it was just an amazing time. But there's a lot of artifacts and things that Mr. Shelton, the late Bob Shelton, collected that I think are still around. And there might be an opportunity for a museum at when it is repurposed. And I hope it will be repurposed, Old Tucson.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and he did have quite a collection. I do know he lost a substantial amount of memorabilia in the fire some years back, but there is, or at least was, a very serious effort to start up some sort of a historical museum dealing with all of the history of filmmaking at Old Tucson under his name and his contributions of these artifacts. So I agree that would be a wonderful event, or at least an opportunity for people to really get the true sense of Old Tucson and what it's done for the Tucson community.
All right, we'll take our break right here. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, perhaps you have some ideas for Old Tucson, what it should be in the future. 790-2040. We'll be back with Supervisor Christie on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with us on the live line. So Pima County takes over responsibility for the old Tucson theme park on September the 14th. This would be an opportunity, as we were talking about in the first segment, I think, to kind of do a reset. And how do you go about doing that? What are the next steps as far as you see, Steve Christie?
Well, a thought just came to me that maybe we, after we fix the roads out there and more of them throughout Pima County, something like a theme hotel out there or something of that nature to take advantage of the historical significance of the movie industry from the theme end, and then of course the enjoyment of the beautiful views of the Sonoran Desert out west of Tucson, you know, something like that. But obviously this would have to involve the attractions and tourist department. Brent Durad over there have to be heavily involved. I would imagine that there would have to be some sort of a meeting of the minds of people who are familiar with these types of situations to offer input and to, you know, discern what could be the best utilization for that property. So I think this is a good opportunity to bring those minds together, to bring those ideas together, and to formulate some sort of a plan. It shouldn't be that difficult to organize some sort of a committee or a task force, as has been suggested, that can provide the insight and the experience that that other theme parks have gone through. And I know Old Tucson is not the only theme park in the country that has suffered a similar fate. So I think there are a number of organizations that locally that can be involved, as well as bringing people from the outside who've been involved in restructuring situations like this. I am, you know, that it tugs at my heart because of the past and all the great memories of Old Tucson and what it meant to not only me, but to all of us who've been here for a while in Pima County. But nonetheless, it's kind of exciting to think, well, we've got this opportunity. We've got something going here. We've got a great asset. Let's make some great decisions and really do something to help the tourism economy and the economy in general by repurposing and reformulating what was Old Tucson.
I hope you will take into consideration, Supervisor, when this comes up for a discussion, And I don't think it would really cost anything to put together a committee of citizens with some old timers who I'm sure would have a lot of great input as far as the film history. Put together a committee and talk about how do we want to move forward with this. Wouldn't you think that would be an appropriate way to move forward?
Absolutely. I would prefer the local input, obviously, because we as the long-term citizens of Pima County have that connection and that knowledge and that feel for it that I don't think outsiders would. One thing that we do have going for us is we just checked that Old Tucson is not on the National Register of Historic Places. So that does give a certain amount of flexibility as to what that property and the buildings can be used for. But I would like to see much more local input from local citizens who have experience in not only tourism and attractions in Pima County, but also know what Old Tucson meant to Pima County. So yes, that would be, I think, an ideal first step.
All right, let's talk quickly here because I've only got about 5 minutes. You voted in the minority. It was a 3-2 vote, the Board of Supervisors adopting the property tax levy for the fiscal year, completing this year's budget process. What did you not like about that program?
Well, the most important factor to me is that we did not analyze enough reducing the property tax rate, which is set by the Board of Supervisors, because we know that there's that half a year to I think it's 18 month lag between property tax billings. And when you get your next property tax bill, you are actually paying for the valuation of your property that was 18 months ago. So I don't feel that we analyzed enough to reduce that property tax rate to take into consideration the rising valuation assessments of the property. The county tax assessor sets the values, but the Board of Supervisors sets the actual rate. And if the values go up, and even if the rate goes down a little bit or less, a little more than a little bit, there'll still potentially be a property tax increase because of the values rising. So I don't feel we spend enough time looking into reducing that rate to counterbalance the valuations. And I fear that as we come out of this crisis and as things progress, and by all indications, I've heard from my real estate contacts and as well as the commercial real estate, but particularly residential, that the market is on fire and that homes are selling like hotcakes and they're not staying on the market very long. So that indicates that as the cycle of property tax billings goes, there's going to be higher values in the future. And I think it's imperative and incumbent upon the Board of Supervisors to analyze that tax rate so that when those values go up and we need to set that tax rate, so there isn't a huge increase in property taxes. It's also important that everybody look at each line item in their tax bill, because the Board of Supervisors only has control over 4 of the line items. And there are, as you know, on top of those 4, which is flood control, library, debt service, and the primary property tax, there are fire districts, school districts, the water flood districts that have their own taxing mechanisms, and those are not controlled by the Board of Supervisors, but they have obviously in many instances gone up, and then people see the bottom line of their tax bill and they go, my property taxes are too high. Well, it's not really the property tax that is affecting the bottom line. It's the 4 or 5 school districts or fire districts or the flood control districts that are really affecting that bottom line.
All right, Steve Christie, we're going to have to let you go there. And I will, I've heard the same thing. The real estate market, residential, is on fire. People moving on fire, moving from California. Many of them want to get away from what's been going on over there. So there is an opportunity there. Steve, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Same to you, and I look forward to the next time you let me on your show.
All right. Thank you very much, and that will be next month. We'll have Steve Christie on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Mr. Christie appearing on the Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. As I was out in the garden this morning enjoying cooler air, first time in 3 or 4 months at least that it felt like that, my thoughts went to Green Things, that, wow, this is going to be now probably a very big weekend for them as people say, I think maybe the worst is over as far as the big time heat, and maybe start thinking about planting some beautiful flowers in the garden for the upcoming fall season. GreenThingsAZ.com. There are other companion property within the property on Green Things, Zocalo Village, ZocaloVillage.com. Dr. Victoria Mazes is coming up next on the Live Line right after this.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on a very smoky, hazy afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, and she is the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a Professor of Medicine, Family Medicine, and Public Health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, and she is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problem. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook titled Women's Integrative Health, and she's author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her, and I hope you will, at her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing real well. It is a little cooler today, which makes me feel good, but I am very allergic, as I've talked about on the program, to wood smoke, and we've had a lot of smoke in the air, so that makes for kind of eyes kind of burning and the whole thing, but it is better as far as the temperatures are concerned.
Yes, it is definitely better and quite hazy. You know, sometimes when people are especially sensitive, it's better not to go outside and to inhale the smoke. It's better to stay inside and keep your windows shut and your air conditioning on. I hate to say that because I'm always encouraging people to go outside. But if you're sensitive, you know, be careful on these smoky days. Also, you can get a HEPA filter, which will filter out the smoke particles, and especially important in the bedroom because we spend 8 hours or more, you know, in the bedroom, and that can really reduce the amount of allergic response we have as well.
I want to talk a little bit about the risks of what is being called the prescribing cascade. In other words, people being prescribed on and on, it seems to go on a particular with the drug prescriptions. And it's interesting that older adults are taking so many medications, Dr. Mazes. It's estimated that two-fifths of older adults are taking five or more prescriptions. So this presents then a problem, and it gets into something I believe that's called polypharmacy.
Yes, and you're exactly right. I mean, some of it is just a function of living longer. We start accumulating health problems. It doesn't have to be that way, but if we're not living a healthy lifestyle, we may have some extra pounds, which may increase our risk of diabetes or heart disease or even high blood pressure. And then we start noticing we have a medicine to keep our blood sugar under control. We have a medicine to keep our blood pressure under control. We may have elevated cholesterol and have a medicine for that. And before you know it, you're on five or more.
Doesn't take long, does it? It adds up very quickly. And
well, it doesn't. And sometimes you're seeing different doctors, and, you know, they're all well-meaning and well-intentioned, and one puts you on one for allergies, and another one puts you on one for your blood pressure, and, you know, you see someone else who has a good reason to put you on something else. And sometimes those medicines can have bad interactions, which is really the risk of polypharmacy. It's that there can be what we call drug-drug interactions. All of a sudden, you're having another side effect, like maybe you have swollen ankles. And instead of someone saying, well, maybe that's from the blood pressure medicine, they say, oh, we should treat you with a diuretic. And there you are in another medicine.
Yeah, doctors are very good at prescribing, Dr. Mazes, but maybe they need to take a few extra moments to start thinking about de-prescribing.
Well, I think this is an important advance in medicine. I have to say, when I was in medical school and residency, I certainly got taught how to put people on medicines, but I didn't get taught much about taking anyone off. And, you know, sometimes you have to go really slow. Like one of the classic examples is if you're on an antidepressant from the SSRI, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. That's medicines like Prozac or Zoloft or Paxil. Many people can't just go off those cold turkey. They have to taper really, really slowly to be able to get off. That doesn't mean they can't get off. It just means it takes a lot of extra effort. Or sometimes people take the acid-blocking medicines, omeprazole or Prilosec, and when they go off, their heartburn comes back with a vengeance. Again, it doesn't mean you can't go off. You just may have to taper slowly or maybe substitute a weaker medicine for a while and then taper off of that. So it takes some finessing.
And those heartburn medications are not really, correct me if I'm wrong, they're not really designed for extensive long-term use, are they?
Well, that's true for most people. Every now and then, there are folks who have a reason to be on long-term. For example, there's a condition called Barrett's esophagus, which can increase your risk of esophageal cancer. And those folks appropriately are put on these proton pump inhibitor medications long-term. But most people are not supposed to be on them long-term. They're only supposed to take them for weeks to months. And, you know, often you see people who are on them for years, and that's a problem. Now, right now with COVID-19, there's actually data to show people do better if they're put in the hospital, if they're put on one of these PPI or proton pump inhibitors. But that doesn't mean they should be on it forever. It means that the stress of the hospitalization is a risk factor for heartburn or acid reflux, and that once you get out of the hospital, you want to work with your doctor on going off of it.
I think there are some appropriate questions that would be helpful for our listeners when they are talking with their healthcare provider about, in fact, it's really a series of questions that should be brought up and asked about particular side effects with drugs.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, you always want to ask what are common side effects of this medicine so that you know. And I have to say, you know, we're a little cautious because just by naming the side effect, we actually can, you know, kind of create a suggestion that somebody might have that side effect. And so then that becomes a problem, too. We don't want to have a placebo effect, you know, where someone develops side effects that have been suggested to them. But you really do want to know what the common side effects are. And then, you know, when you are on a new medicine, if you develop something new, is it a side effect from the drug or is it really a new problem? A lot of times as doctors, we see things as new problems as opposed to side effects. It's always worth asking, is there a safer medication available? Could I be on a lower dose? Is there one that's less expensive? I mean, these are all completely reasonable questions. And you know, you may want to track for a while when you're put on a new medicine if you are noticing any side effects. Now, some side effects would be a reason to go off of a medicine, but others wear off with time.
Well, we had a listener ask, if I would ask you, who should get this question? Should it be the doctor or the pharmacist or perhaps both?
Both are great people to turn to. One of the jobs of pharmacists is to do a medication review and look for potential drug-drug interactions. And there are pharmacists who have been trained in de-prescribing so that they won't actually take you off the medicine, but they'll make recommendations. If you're on 5 or 6 or 10, you know that these are the ones that look like they're probably less important and more worthwhile to see whether you can go off of, and you would do that actually with your doctor. Your doctor is another great person to ask. And then, you know, there are some resources on the internet, like for everything else, there are some really good resources. But the Bruyere Research Institute out of Ottawa, Canada, has some really great information online. And then there are some apps that they have created to help you review your medicines and look for ones that may no longer be of indication.
And I think the most important would be, do I need to take this drug at all? And I was thinking, as you were talking about the heartburn medication, I was thinking about an alternative that I have used personally, which is called DGL. And it might be appropriate to put someone on a natural supplement rather than go to the heavy artillery right away. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, so I think that DGL, which stands for deglycyrrhizinated licorice, is a great thing for mild heartburn. If you have very severe heartburn, it may not cut it, but it is also useful when someone is tapering off and needs a little extra help. It's also useful to think about, well, why am I having this heartburn? You know, maybe 4 cups of coffee is too much for me, or maybe my stress is really a bit too high and I have to find ways to center myself and manage the stress as opposed to erasing the symptom of the heartburn with a pill. So all of these are things we want to consider.
All right, let's take a break right here. We'll be back with Dr. Mazes for segment number 4, the final segment of our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the program is also presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start thinking about an autumn trip to Silver City, so you'll be ready when the state of New Mexico, and we're hoping that day is coming very quickly, is once again open to out-of-state visitors. For more information on things to do and places to stay, they have a great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's continue now with our conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, we need to talk about COVID-19. The numbers have been looking better, which is very good news. I wanted to talk a little bit about the integrative medicine approach. If someone unfortunately does come down with a mild to even moderate case of COVID, what are some of the strategies that you're thinking about?
Well, you know, we hear, of course, a lot about the dramatic use of ventilators and people who are hospitalized and needing oxygen, and even the number of deaths that we've had in the state. But most people, the majority, will have mild or moderate coronavirus disease if they get it. And the good news is that there are many integrative medicine strategies that can help with the recovery. And as won't surprise any of your regular listeners, these are going to include approaches from ranging from the diet. There are some dietary supplements that can be of help. There's actually some osteopathic manipulation that may help with the lung problems, Qigong and breathing exercises, which can help with respiration and ventilation, physical exercise, stress management, and even things like aromatherapy can be of use.
Are there any preventive items that you would like to bring up?
Well, you and I have talked about this, and there are things. I mean, the most important ones, of course, are careful hand washing and wearing masks, especially when indoors, especially when you can't be 6 feet away from other people. Those are the public health recommendations, continue to be the most important things that we could do. But there are other things that we could do. When we eat an anti-inflammatory diet with lots of vegetables and fruits, we're providing our body with the nutrients that help our immune system function most appropriately. When we get enough sleep and when we manage our stress, our immune system functions best. There are some supplements like melatonin, which is one we've talked about. We use that for sleep, but it turns out to also improve immune function, and it may reduce getting coronavirus or getting a serious case of it. There are some other things like zinc lozenges that can help prevent the coronavirus from entering cells. So there's a variety of things in the prevention realm as well.
Okay, let's go back then to if someone does come down with hopefully a mild case, and they do have fever, which is usually one of the hallmarks of COVID-19. What could be done to perhaps mitigate a fever?
Well, the first question is do you need to do anything? Because
okay.
Many people feel that fever can actually be a useful response of the immune system to help fight the infection. And so the very first question is do I need to do anything, or should I just let the fever run its course? Now, sometimes it's very high and you're very uncomfortable. And in that situation, we do recommend as a first line thing to use Tylenol. There's been a little bit of worry about other substances, but we still do also recommend anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen. But Tylenol is probably the best choice. And then, you know, there's other things that aren't very comfortable. If you have a fever, you can take a cool bath. You know, you can reduce the amount of clothing you have on you. But you don't have to jump to the Tylenol right away just because you have a fever.
Is Tylenol generally more effective than, say, ibuprofen or Advil?
You know, it's not more effective necessarily. I think for some individuals, one works better than the other. They have different side effect profiles. Tylenol is more of a risk to the liver. It affects your liver's function. And so we worry about Tylenol for that reason. And ibuprofen has more side effects on the kidneys and also on the stomach. So, you know, it's, choose your poison a little bit of which side effect may be safer for your particular body.
How about cough? What possible integrative medicine strategies for a cough, which is also another, usually folks present with a cough with cases of COVID?
Yeah. So one really simple one is a teaspoon of honey. Honey is very soothing to the throat. Sometimes it's a tickle in the throat that makes you cough, and is very safe. And for children over the age of one, we don't give honey to babies, but from 1 to 100, it's a useful tool to use. There are some lovely teas that can be helpful that are made medicinal teas like Throat Comfort and Breathe Deep, and these can be very soothing. Of course, you could add honey to them as well. And then, you know, there are ones that are slightly more work, like you could make a thyme syrup using the spice thyme, and you could find that recipe on the internet, and that also has a cough suppressant effect.
Thyme is effective as a cough suppressant?
Yes, if you turn it into a syrup. You don't want to just sprinkle it on your scrambled eggs or something. Yeah.
What have, in the remaining minute or two we've got here, what have we learned? We've been talking, obviously, about COVID with you since the dark days of March. What are some of the things we've learned over the past 6 months?
Well, I think that we've really learned about the importance of the public health measures. And, you know, there was a lot of confusion at the beginning. You'll remember we were told masks were unnecessary, and, you know, now we're all being asked to mask up. And some people are putting face shields in addition because the virus does appear to have some aerosol spread as well. So that wouldn't be the part smaller, very lightweight, and can stay in the air.
I think we were kind of breaking up there, Dr. Mazes, with your phone. Are you back with us? I think we may have, perhaps, Tom, I think we may have lost Dr. Mazes. We've only got about a minute anyway, so I'm going to wrap it up with her, and didn't get a formal chance to say goodbye. But wait a minute, she's back with us, so we will have a formal chance to say goodbye to Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, we lost you, but we've got you for about 40 seconds.
All right. So in the 40 seconds, outdoors is way safer than indoors. And so as the temperatures finally cool off, go take a walk. Go out in the morning. Go out in the evening. And hopefully we'll have beautiful fall and winter weather that will allow us to spend a lot of time outdoors in a safe way.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. Stay safe. We will talk to you next month. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Stay healthy.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Her website is Victoria Mazes, MAIZESMD.com. You can follow her also on Twitter at VMazes. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, a program that goes very quickly. A lot of content today, and we try to make that the case every day here on the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks, Tom, thank you very much. As usual, doing a fine job on the other side of the glass.